Christians can never take medication. It is always wrong to interrupt a worship service. Capital punishment is an absolute wrong under any circumstances. These sort of absolutes flood certain segments of the Christian church, but how helpful are they? This week, Tommy and Doug tackle the nature and some examples of absolute statements as they explore the possibility of certainty becoming a problem. Here is episode 80 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Welcome everyone to Imprint Out Loud, where we discuss some questions. And with me today is Doug to help us wrestle through another question.
Okay.
Doug, welcome. We're going to look at some absolute statements. I've heard several absolute statements. Is it valid? Let's go with that yes or no question.
What?
Absolute statements.
It depends. So God exists. That's an absolute statement.
Yeah.
God is unchangeable. That's an absolute statement. You have Bible that clearly defines things that are absolute.
Yeah.
So Christians do live in the realm of absolutes. We just want to make sure, we want to be absolutely sure that our absolute is an absolute.
Yeah. So on that note, when it comes to our Christian faith, the questions like Christians cannot take medicine for fill in the blank.
Okay.
Absolute statement.
Yeah.
You cannot take medicine for depression, for heartache, heart problems, because your days are numbered. Absolute statement.
Yeah, so I think you would want to run that absolute statement through the matrix of Scripture.
Mm.
And when you do that, I don't think you can make that absolute statement. Because I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible where it forbids absolutely taking medication, number one.
Yeah.
And even taking medication for some emotional, psychological reasons. I think you have to be very careful about all that.
Yeah.
But I think those kind of absolute statements that Christians cannot take medication, I think you're in trouble. So Jehovah's Witnesses, they have some pretty absolute statements about blood transfusions.
Mm.
Where do they get that? Well, from a wrong interpretation of Scripture.
Mm.
So you want to really be careful, like I said, you want to be absolutely sure before you start making absolute statements.
Yeah. So you and I teach at Shepherd School. It's, for those listeners not in Brackenhurst, it's just a Monday evening, every second Monday evening, going through a topic. This topic that we're discussing now is counseling. And you made the argument that you can take medicine for a period of time. And how did you get to that conclusion?
Yeah, so
to go against this absolute.
Yeah, so I want to be careful with that.
Mm.
I do think that sometimes there is a place for a psychotropic, a medicine prescription to help a person to come to the point where you can actually deal with them rationally.
Mm.
And again, this is a debatable subject, and I want to be really careful how I handle it.
Mm.
But sometimes somebody is in such a state emotionally that they have to get to a point where you can speak to them rationally. And so there might be a place for medication in that. An antidepressant for a time period can be helpful.
Mm.
But I think in all of that, you have to realize you're dealing with the symptom there.
Mm. Mm.
An antidepressant is not going to solve your problem.
Yeah.
It's going to treat a symptom. And so for that purpose, there might be wisdom to take medication for that.
Mm.
but you have to still deal with the root problem that's leading to the depression. And if you ignore that and you're just treating symptoms, you're not helping the person.
Yeah.
So again, I think sometimes for a stated period, I think I said in the class, you know, I've known of people who have said, you know, they've been on prescription medicines for psychiatric issues, and they say, I'm going to live by faith, I'm going to go off the medication. And I say, don't do that. Let's talk to a doctor to help you with this, whether that's going to be wise and over time. So you want to be really careful about that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So basically, you're looking at medicine through a biblical lens of saying, your mind is so dark, you're not going to hear me help you with the Bible to get some tools to handle your depression.
Right.
So let's get you on medicine so you can see some light, and then we deal with it biblically while you can still hear me.
Right.
And get you out of the hole and see some sunshine.
And I'm not going to make that call for the medication because I'm not a doctor.
You can't prescribe it.
No, but I'm going to be trying to hook them up with a Christian physician who understands the lie of the land there.
Because you don't want them to be dependent on the meds.
No.
You want to be dependent on the Spirit and the Word.
Right.
But
right.
It can be a help.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think to have an absolute statement that it's wrong for Christians to take medication for emotional depressive issues, I don't think you can do that biblically.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's another absolute statement that I've heard. No one can ever disturb a worship service.
Well, if you're talking about Minnesota recently in the States where the protesters came in, there is a legal issue. There's a constitutional issue where you have a right to freedom of religion. And so somebody doesn't have the right to come in and disturb that.
I think this question comes more from a worship service is a holy worship. We cannot disturb it in any way. But I have helped in my, I think, 17 years now at Breckenast, have helped, I think, 3 times. One, help someone that passed out, and carry 2 people out because they were, I think one was a heart attack and one was something else. And there was disruption.
Yeah, so.
Did we sin?
No, you didn't sin. My mom was a registered nurse, and oftentimes when I was growing up, we'd be in the church service and someone would pass out. They'd come and get my mom. One day we were standing there singing, and I saw out of the corner of my eye somebody faint. I didn't even look around. I thought my mom would take care of him. Well, it turned out to be my mom. She fainted in that service and somebody had to help her. You want to keep disturbances to a minimum.
Yeah.
And there might be a case where you actually have to say, you know what? We need to actually close the service.
Yeah.
If somebody were to have a serious illness during a service and let's say they died in the service, it might be pretty insensitive just to keep going on.
Yeah.
Or you might change the way you're doing the service.
Yeah.
So I think that to make that statement, it's absolutely wrong to ever disturb.
Yeah.
I don't think that's taking into account the fact that we live in a fallen, broken world and things happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like people say to me, did you hear that crying baby? I hardly ever hear crying babies when I'm preaching. Mm. I just kind of tune that out. And I think if we're not careful, we make people feel uncomfortable because they're so-called disturbing the service.
Yeah.
I'm just happy they're there as a family worshiping God.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember recently, actually, I think you were in the States. I preached in the morning. And as I was preaching, the baptismal started overflowing. They forgot to turn off the tap. Mm.
That would be an allowable disturbance, I think, you know?
I was starting sprinkling people, And I just stepped aside because my feet started getting wet. And I was just like, can we just stop here? Can we just switch off the tap? And then I carried on.
Yeah.
But if you're going to start eating Simba chips and it's crinkling and crackling, and you up and down the whole time, that disturbance, let's guard that.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. But like you said, I mean, if someone dies in a heart on a, with a heart attack, I mean, you can't just move the body. Or you could, I mean, the kids, the or people around them, there's a dead body, they might be disturbed. So you'll have to, I mean, the preacher can die.
Right.
Glorious death, but.
I always thought that if I'd want to die preaching, but then I realized that might be traumatic for the congregation. Some might not be, but for some it'd be like, whoa.
I mean, there's a, Yeah, so, okay, so answered that. I mean, no absolute statement of you cannot interrupt. Any Bible passages that you can think of there?
No, I mean, I think it was probably disturbing for the church in Jerusalem when Ananias and Sapphira were both killed during the in a three-hour interval.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was pretty disturbing.
Yeah. Oh, what about Ezra and Nehemiah, where they rebuilt the temple and some were praising God and some were crying?
Yeah.
That was some
or
sobbing.
When Eutychus fell out of the balcony, that would have disturbed the service.
Yeah, I mean, Paul walked down
and
woke him up and went back.
I do think, just as a take on that, I think that we should guard when the church gathers the best we can to aid people to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we spent a lot of time and money on our church hall, sound systems and all that, because we want things to... We don't want unnecessary interruptions.
Yeah.
We want things to flow in the building. We don't unnecessary, interruptions in the service. Yeah. We should guard that the best we can.
Yeah.
But realize also this is life, and sometimes things happen, and there are disturbances, but you can still carry on and worship God.
Yeah, yeah. Here's another one. No one may ever kill someone or practice capital punishment. Ever.
Yeah, I think that's just not understanding Scripture, because there are cases of self-defense in the Bible. Capital punishment is prescribed by God, I believe, in Genesis 9, which is before the law, and it's reinforced by the law. Romans 13, after the law, Paul writes and says that the government does not bear the sword in vain, which vast majority of commentators believe is a reference to capital punishment. So I think capital punishment is allowable. It doesn't mean that it should be exercised indiscriminately. I think that we have to be really careful, depending on what country we live in, on how we go about with capital punishment, how we carry it out.
Yeah.
The government carries it out, only the government can do that. Only a legitimate government can carry it out.
Yeah.
But I think that, I don't think that's thinking clearly about what Scripture teaches.
I mean, even thinking of protecting your family. I mean, there's some legitimate, I mean, there's different opinions, but to say ever, you never ever allow to.
Well, in fact, a well-known preacher that we both respect, years ago in an interview said if somebody asked him, if someone attacked your wife, and you had the means to physically, hurt him, even kill him, would you intervene? And he said, no, you'd have to just accept it as the sovereignty of God. Well, I would not hesitate to intervene.
Yeah.
I think that there is a biblical responsibility there. So those kind of absolute statements, I understood what this guy was trying to argue. He was saying, this soul's going to go to hell if I kill him. Well, that's his, it's the thug's choice to harm somebody. And he's going to bear the consequences of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think those kind of absolute statements are not helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking as well from, and we touched on it earlier, that just misinterpreting Scripture. I think of Peter, now a woman cannot adorn them, so you can only wear dress, or you cannot wear makeup, you can never wear this or do this, or men can never... You should always be separated, men on this side, women on this side. Those kind of convictional, I would say unbiblical or ungrounded absolute actions then.
Yeah. So I think that whole issue of some churches, I've been in churches in different parts of the world where the men sit on one side, women on the other. But it's fine. They're respecting their culture.
Mm.
But if they try to argue that the Bible says this is what we must do, I would have to push back on that. If they're saying, I want to be sensitive to our culture, why create extra headaches for the gospel? Fine.
Yeah.
But you want to really be careful that you're not misinterpreting and misapplying Scripture. Because once you make an absolute statement and you back it up erroneously from Scripture, then you're dishonoring God's Word.
Yeah, yeah. And your conviction might change, and then people will ask, like, what happened? You said it's absolute Bible teaches.
Right.
Now you're changing. Do you say the Bible has changed now?
Yeah.
So you might get into a real thick story there. But, yeah, so be careful about absolute statements if you can't back it up with Scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else on that, Doug?
I don't think so.
Good.
Yeah.
Wasn't that difficult?
No, not too bad.
Well, thank you for listening, everyone. If you have any more questions, send them in and we can discuss them. Until next time.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.